From the Missouri School of Journalism, this is Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. It's hardly uncommon for parents to be worried their teenagers are spending too much time online. But in China, the concern is particularly acute. Internet cafes and cities there often teem with young men playing online games for hours on end. Now, according to one 2009 survey, an estimated 24 million people in China between the ages of 14 and 29 were classified as internet addicts. Now, medical authorities in most countries, including the U.S., don't recognize internet addiction as a disease. But in 2008, China's health officials became the first to officially identify it as a clinical disorder. Now, one outcome has been the opening of about 300 to 400 internet addiction treatment centers. Many of the centers resemble military schools, and the patients are forced to do exercise, march to class, and of course, are barred from using the internet. These boot camps have generated a lot of controversy in China, in part because of allegations that young people are sometimes physically abused in them and even held against their will. Now, on this edition of Global Journalist, a look at internet addiction in China. In a few minutes, we'll hear from some different people with different perspectives on this issue. But first, we're going to talk to Shosh Lam. She's an Israeli filmmaker who directed the 2013 documentary Web Junkie, which followed three Chinese teenagers obsessed with online gaming. Shosh, welcome to Global Journalist.
Hi.
Well, first of all, tell me if you would, how did you get interested in making a documentary about internet addiction in China?
I was not brought up on internet, and I was and I am very concerned how internet changed human relationship. We think that we are more connected, but I think that we created a new solitude. So with this idea, I heard that in China, the using of internet is very extreme, and China is the first and only one to declare it as a clinic disorder. So I thought that if I want to bring up the dark side of the internet, I should go to China, and that's what I did.
Well, your film, it follows the lives of some young men who spend a lot of time playing online multiplayer video games like World of Warcraft, and they end up in this well-known internet addiction center in China. But tell us just a little bit about what the lives of these teenagers are like before they end up in this rehab center.
So before, they drop off school, they are in internet cafes for days wearing diapers, not to lose one precious moment of the game. And they are, they lost, you know, social life. They lost social life and they are very lonely. And when they are very lonely, they are getting very depressed. And then they are escaping to the virtual world. And this loneliness, by the way, a research was done lately in the United States, is increasing numbers of teenagers committing suicide or trying to commit suicide. So they are forced to come into this rehab center for 4 months by their parents. For instance, the parents will give them a sleeping pill at night, and when they wake up in the morning, they are behind bars in a military camp. And as you described, it's a military camp and, and very high discipline.
Yeah, well, tell us just about, like, the daily routine inside this center. You went to one, I think it's in called, like, the Daxing Center near Beijing. What do people do there in the morning?
So when they wake up, like, at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's exercising, of course, cleaning their rooms, and they began with therapies. They are going through therapies between themselves and between them and their parents. Their parents are called to participate in this process. Not all of them are showing up, but you discover that these escape to the virtual world, are coming from very problematic relationship in their family. And we have to remember that these kids are only, they are, an only child in the family. They are, the ones of the one-child policy that are, were in China, was in China. And so for these parents, I mean, this rehab center is the last, place that they can, save their child. Their children also are getting anti-depression pills. And as I said, they're going through therapies and they're getting lectures. Of course, they are, not allowed to use any device.
Well, I know that these have been controversial in China, in part because there have been some well-publicized incidents of physical abuse of the patients. Sometimes even the patients, after they leave, I believe, have attacked their parents. In one case, a young woman was reported starved her mother to death. Tell us a little bit about some of the controversy that has followed these types of centers.
So, I went to China after I saw on the Australian television that one of the children was beaten to death in one of these camps. Yes, I mean, the children are, they have guards that are, are in charge of them. And, sometimes these guards are not very, pleasant and are very sometimes aggressive. So, I didn't see, and in some of the camps, that's what I heard, I didn't see it. I mean, they are also using electrical shocks.
Oh, electroshock treatment. That was one of the allegations against some of
yes,
the camps.
Yeah, I didn't see it in this camp, so I cannot tell you that I saw it. But yes, but I saw, a very, very aggressive, behavior from the guards to the children.
Well, Shoshlam, thanks so much for joining us on Global Journalist.
Thank you.
A reminder that you're tuned into Global Journalist. On today's program, we're talking about China's efforts to deal with so-called internet addicts, usually young men who may spend 6 hours or more every day playing online games like World of Warcraft or League of Legends. To continue our discussion, we're going to bring in another person who has followed us closely. Joining us in Shanghai is Zigor Aldama. He's an East Asia correspondent for the Spanish newspaper El País and Spain's Grupo Vocento news organization. Zigor, welcome.
Hello.
Well, you've reported on this issue extensively. You've lived in China for quite some time. Parents all over the world, I think, are concerned about how much time their kids spend in front of screens and on the internet. Is there something like different or peculiar about what's happening in China?
I just think it's the scale of it. Basically, we have 730 million internet users in China, and most of them are young people. And according to statistics by the government itself, 10% of those minors using the internet are either addicts or at risk of getting addicted to the internet. So we do see, like Shosh said, and we are seeing now, a lot of internet cafes called Wamba here, where people go to play endlessly. Like they really spend their days. Sometimes they say that it's even cheaper to spend the night in a Wamba because it's much cheaper than a hotel. So they just stay there, they live there, they eat there, and they even make friends there. So basically what we see here is that the so-called addicts are playing much more than I think they do play in the West. Some of the kids that we interview finally admitted to play maybe 20 hours straight, some of them maybe 4 days with very little sleep. So Actually, I think there is a reason to, for concern, and I understand that parents are really worried about basically, you know, the fact that they are losing opportunities in this very competitive society where, you know, getting good grades is much more important than anywhere else.
Well, you talked about this classification of addiction and the statistic that something like 10% of sort of teenagers, young people are, you know, addicted to the internet. But what does that mean? Internet addiction, is there a clear definition of it?
That's the problem that there is no clear definition of what is internet addiction. Sometimes, you know, Tao Ran, who is actually the head of this boot camp, which both Shosh and later I visited, and he's one like the leading scientist or psychologist pushing for this, he says that even 6 or hours of playing video games per day, or of course above that, should be considered internet addiction. Many people disagree. Many people say that, well, this is just what teenagers do and that it will pass with the time. Some of them say that, the statistics he gives, which say that 90% of the kids that are in his center are depressed, 58% suffer domestic violence. This means that the problem is not really with the internet, but with the families themselves, with parenting. And that's also one of the reasons why he is pushing for parents to join this therapy in the center.
Well, tell us, I know that you met a number of the young people who are at these centers and their families. Tell us maybe just the story of one of them to sort of highlight, you know, what their lives are like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I remember very clearly a young kid who just arrived at the center, and his parents told him that they were just going for a vacation to Beijing because they were from Inner Mongolia, which is about 1,000 kilometers away from the capital of China, right? And he just arrived there without any knowledge of what was going on, and suddenly he started to feel something was not right. Suddenly he found himself in such a, you know, military environment. And they just told him, you know, you are going to be locked here for the next maybe 3 to 6 months because we believe that you are an internet addict. And they explained the situation. And then I remember that he was outraged and he was going for the mother, shouting at her, tried to beat her. Then that was, you know, the most tense moment when I saw the nurses coming with the restraints and with some injection. I believe it was some kind of tranquilizer. And after that, well, he saw that he was not going to get out from there. So he calmed down. And I guess with time, he accepted the fact, right? Tao Ran himself, he said that many of the kids, they tried to escape from the center in the first 20 days. And maybe after that they get acclimatized because some of them actually agree that they have a problem. And I agree that the therapy that they are getting in the center helps them to get in shape because there is a lot of exercise and many of them are out of shape. They don't move and helps them also to build social relationships with the other kids because they have nothing to do. It's basically boring. Apart from, you know, doing exercise and doing some kind of therapy with psychologists, they have nothing to do, so they start to play games, and we could see how those young kids...
You mean like real-life games rather than online games?
Yeah, they were playing like cards, you know, they were playing cards or they were reading books. And, you know, those who just came to the center, you could see them that they were apart, they were sitting in a corner, they were trying, you know, to keep themselves apart from the rest. But, you know, slowly they were building some relationships. And some of them, they really thought, okay, this real world, maybe it's not that as bad as I thought, right? And Tao Ran, that 75% of the kids that he treats, well, they go back to life and they, you know, keep doing what they should be doing or what the parents think that they should be doing, while 25% are not cured, if we can use that
word. So they claim a 75% success rate. So that seems like a fairly good rate. But Zigor, I'm sorry, we're just out of time for today, but want to thank you again for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you very much.
You're tuned into Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. On today's program, we're talking about the issue of internet addiction in China. China is one of the few countries in the world to have officially recognized internet addiction as a psychological disorder. Now, if you're interested in more coverage of underreported international news, visit us at globaljournalist.org. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, or subscribe to the videocast of this program on YouTube. Now, we just spoke with the documentary maker Shou Shlum and the China correspondent Zigor Aldama about this phenomenon. Now, to broaden our discussion, we're going to bring in two other guests. Joining us from New York is Marcela Shablovich. She's an assistant professor of communication studies at Pace University, who researches Chinese internet culture. And in Fall City, Washington is Hilary Cash. She's a psychotherapist and chief clinical officer at Restart Life, a treatment center outside Seattle for internet and gaming addicts. She's also traveled to China to observe treatment there. Let me start with you, Marcela Shablovich. You've researched China's digital culture for some time, and you trace concern about gaming addiction, internet addiction, back to a specific incident. Tell us where you think this all got started.
Sure. Well, in 2002, there was a notorious fire in an internet cafe in Beijing, and a number of young men died. They were locked inside the cafe because the cafe was operating illegally, and so when the fire broke out, none of them were able to escape. It was a particularly tragic incident. But this really set off a panic, what I would call a moral panic, about the state of internet cafes in China. And specifically what young people are doing in internet cafes, which is for the most part playing internet games in these sort of all-night gaming sessions. And I think since 2002 on, there has been a great deal of media attention in China about this subject of internet gaming and problematic internet use. And I think while, you know, there are some young people who do have a problematic relationship to the internet, the media coverage has grossly exaggerated the scale of the problem to the extent that parents are simply panicked about this issue and willing to resort to anything to try to, quote unquote, save their children.
Well, you raise a good point. I want to throw this to Hilary Cash then. Your center, Restart Life, I understand it's one of the only residential internet addiction treatment facilities in the U.S., and you've also been to China to visit some clinics there. Talk to us just a little bit about how this issue is treated both at your clinic, and how is it the same or different as how it's treated in China?
I think that the overall goals are similar. It's a concern about young adults. Let's just talk about young adults and older teenagers really not being functional and wanting to provide treatment so that they can be, you know, functional members of the larger community. But our approaches are quite different. As you know, the approach in China tends to be a pretty harsh boot camp approach. I didn't tour the facility in Beijing long enough to really get a keen sense myself, but having also watched Web Junkies, you know, I learned a lot more than I had just on my tour. And our own philosophy is that you can get people to change using positive psychology. So our approach is much gentler and kinder. We want them to be physically healthy and fit. We want them to have a safe social environment. We want them to learn both psychological communication and life skills that they lack so that they can be highly functional. And we do that within a small, intimate setting rather than the large, huge setting of that treatment facility that I saw in Beijing. So there, I think it's just a more punitive approach. It's boot camp approach. And I don't really know what their outcomes are. They claim very high levels of success, but I don't really know for sure how successful they are. I know our rates of success are fairly high as well, but I think it's our approach is just different.
Well, Marcella, I wanted to pick up on an issue that was raised earlier in the show, and that is sort of around the culture of the sort of online massive multiplayer role-playing games. You've compared gaming in China as sort of, you've compared it with like underage drinking in the U.S. as a form of teenage rebellion. Talk to us just a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I think that from my perspective, the largest issue with the discourse of internet addiction is that it targets a behavior that society deems to be deviant and or harmful. Something that people, mainly adults, see as harming a young person's ability to lead a normal life. But what is normal and who gets to define what is normal? Underage drinking is fairly normal, but because we as a society deem it to be wrong for young people under the age of 18 or 21 to drink alcohol, we stigmatize that activity. Similarly, we stigmatize internet use because a lot of adults don't understand or approve of internet use. And I think that this is one of the issues that people working in the field of internet addiction need to grapple with. While again, I think there are cases in which some young people use the internet to excess, the vast majority of young people that I have talked to in China don't have a problematic relationship to the internet. They are very conscious of their choice to play games, and they are in control of that decision. And when we try to tell young people that they are addicted, we rob them of agency. We rob them of the ability to make choices and control their own life choices. And so for me, I think, yes, we need to see playing games as a form of rebellion and
Toss this back to Hillary Cash then for a moment. I mean, Marcella raises an interesting point here. Is some of what's happening around this concern about internet use, is it simply a generational divide in the same way an older generation disapproved of rock and roll music or other sort of different technologies or communication forms?
Yeah, I don't actually disagree with what she's saying in general, but we're working with, we now conceptualize addiction as happening on a spectrum from mild to severe. And the people who are coming in to our treatment facility are at the severe end of that. They are people who have tried to moderate their computer use and have been unsuccessful at it. These are people who have failed out of college after years of lying about what was going on and their parents spending, many thousands of dollars on, for college, and these people not being able to complete their coursework. These are folks who are severely physically unfit and unhealthy because of years spent in front of a screen. They come to us and they are depressed. Many of them are suicidally depressed. They're socially anxious, very, very withdrawn, really avoiding people and social contact. They lack the skills that they need to regulate their own emotional states. They have traits of personality disorders. They're very dependent rather than independent, and so forth. So at the extreme end of internet addiction, people are really quite dysfunctional when they come to us.
Well, talk to us, if you would, about sort of how psychiatrists in the U.S. think about this. I mean, I understand that it is not categorized as a clinical disorder here. Is there some discussion about that?
Oh, yeah. So the DSM-5 has internet gaming disorder.
Sorry, so this is sort of like the Bible of psychiatry then.
Right.
Okay.
And it has internet gaming disorder listed at the back as a proposal, something requiring further study and being considered for future inclusion once the study results come in, which I think is a perfectly sensible approach right now. There's lots of research going forward in this area, And once the weight of that research becomes irrefutable, then it's going to be given its full status.
Well, Marcella, my understanding is that there's actually like kind of an interesting difference in how, you know, boys use the internet and girls use the internet, or young men and young women do, when it comes to sort of problematic internet use. What can you tell us about that, particularly as it relates to the Chinese situation?
Well, I think that's an interesting question. You do see trends in terms of young men gravitating towards different types of games than young women would necessarily play, using it in different ways, perhaps. I think that the concern about young boys and gaming is simply sort of an outgrowth of the fact that young men play these games in internet cafes in China in greater numbers than young women do. Young women might use the internet in different ways and in different locations. A lot of the young women that I have talked to don't like going to internet cafes because they think that they're sort of not very nice locations, or that they may be unsafe for them. So I'm not sure that I would argue that there is a huge difference in the way that young women and young men are using the internet. But certainly we do see a lot of young men gravitating towards games that are like these multiplayer role-playing games that have been said to be more immersive and therefore more addictive. But I'm not sure I necessarily always agree with that.
Well, Hilary Kesh, our time does grow short, but if you could just jump in on that, and then, you know, please do tell us, where do you see this issue moving over the next 3 years, the next 5 years?
First, just a comment about what we were discussing, and that is that in the almost nine years that we've been open, we have had no more than 7 women coming to the facility. So I think there definitely is a vast difference, which I can only hypothesize about why that is. And where this is moving, I have a lot of concern about where it's moving, because the technology, the goal of game designers and pornographers and so forth is to create the most immersive experience possible. And the more immersive an experience is, the more likely it is to become addictive. So that's the direction the technology is going. And the other concern I have is that parents are not very well aware of the ways in which this technology, which is so mesmerizing for young children, can really interfere with their normal child development. So I have a lot of concerns.
That's going to have to do it for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute and KBIA, Mid-Missouri Public Radio. Our thanks to Shosh Lam, Zigor Aldama, Marcella Shablovich, and Hilary Kesh for joining us. Assistant producers this week are Maria Cajon, Denitsa Tsikova, and Yan Chi Tzu. Rachel Foster Gimbel and Lauren Wertman are supervising producers. Alisa Blyle is visual editor. Our audio engineer is Aaron Hay. Travis McMillan is director. For all of us at Global Journalist, I'm Jason McClure. Thanks for tuning in.